Okay, good morning. Today's daf is Yevamos daf Nun Aleph. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. Moshe Grushko, Lezecher Nishmash, from a Gittel Bas, Rav Avram Isaac. Neshama should have an aliyah. The learning this morning should be a zchus for an aliyah, neshama for her, and also in my honor for stepping in for Rabbi Leibowitz while Rabbi Leibowitz is away. So thank you very much, Dr. Grushko, for the sponsorship. Much appreciated. So today we're going to continue just dissecting all the cases in the very long Mishnah that we had yesterday. So just again to set the table, we had yesterday a discussion we started off with of Yesh Get Achar Get or Ein Get Achar Get, and then the various permutations of a person, of a Yavam who has a Yavam who is waiting for him, who then gives a Get and does Maimer and Yibam and does the Bia and the Chalitza, and the various order in which one can do all those things, and whether something works after Bia, something works after Chalitza. Then we discussed what happens if you flip the cases a little bit, and there's one Yavam and two Yavamos, and you do different things to different Yavamos, whether one act as chal after you've already previously done a second one. And then the Mishnah concluded by discussing a case where, or cases, where there are two Yavamos and one Yavama, and again, each Yavam tries to do something else to one of the other Yavamos, whether the actions have any effect. So we saw yesterday, and we're going to continue discussing today, the concept of being usur, of being prohibited and having a relationship with the krova of somebody who you did chalitza with, and therefore the krova of somebody who you did, who you gave a get to, because the get works on a certain derabbanadika level to make her like a little bit of a chalitza. And we also saw yesterday the beginning of a discussion regarding the isurim of kivan shalabana shuvlo yibane, that once you've already done an act to repudiate the zika, you're not allowed to then go and build the house. So once you've given a get, you can't then go do a yibam or do a maimer because you've already repudiated the zika. And we also saw a discussion of that bayis echad atabona vi atabona shtei batim, that you're allowed to build only one house, but you're not allowed to build two houses. So for example, if you have one Yavam and two Yavamos, and you do Yibam on the first Yavama, then it goes without saying you're not allowed to do Yibam on the second Yavama, because then you've already sort of capitalized on the Zika by doing Yibam on the first one. So then when you do Yibam on the second one, you're just having Bia with Eshes Achiv, which is of course not such a good thing. It's an Isser Kare. So you're far from doing a mitzvah, you're doing something very bad. So we saw in the beginning of the Gemara here where we said that even though Rav Gamliel and the Chachamim argue whether yesh get achar get or ein get achar get, we had seen that there is a suffix as to what exactly the get does. Forgetting about the yesh get achar get or ein achar get, just taking a case of one get in isolation, or taking a case of one maimer in isolation, we explained a little bit of what the suffix is, that it's a quasi repudiation of the zika in the case of a get, or it's a quasi acquisition in the case of a mimer. So we started down that discussion. So we got up to 2, 4, 6, 7 lines up from the bottom of the Amud, where it says first word on the line is umay taima. So just to set the table for this discussion, one of the concepts that we were introduced to in the Mishnah yesterday is whether there is yesh davar achar chalitza or ein davar achar chalitza, meaning once you do chalitza, is any act that you do after the chalitza going to be invalid no matter when in the sequence the chalitza occurred? So for example, let's say you gave a get, and then you do the chalitza. So the chalitza is called a deficient chalitza, and then you do a maimor, then you try having bia. Is that act of maimor or bia going to be legally significant? And what we said was no, because ein achar chalitza klum, whether chalitza is in the beginning or whether it's bamsa or besof. In other words, whether it's a full-fledged chalitza or whether it's what we call a chalitza psula, a deficient chalitza. But then we had a machlokas about a bia. So we also said ein achar bia klum in the Mishnah, that once you do the bia and you actually affect the acquisition through yibam, and then let's say if you decide to do a chalitza, if you decide to give a chalitza, that chalitza is meaningless because you've already done the bia. But we saw this machlokas whether ein achar bia klum applies only when the bia is done first, in other words, only when it's done in its most unadulterated and its most pure form, or whether ein achar bia klum, even if the bia is done in a form where it's a bia psula, even if it's done, quote, be'emtza o basof. So says the Gemara as follows. My time, Amar Rabbanan, be a psula yesh acharei aklum. So the Rabbanan who said that the only time there is nothing after a bia is when the bia is done in the beginning, but if the bia is done in the middle, in other words, if it's a bia psula done after something else, like for example the giving of a get, then yesh acharei aklum, then it's not a good bia in that it allows a subsequent act to take effect. So they say Amri, so they say, because here's our reason, it's basically a gzera, and the gzera goes like this. So I bia achar geti, if what we're talking about, so what's the bia psula that we're talking about? If the bia psula that we're talking about is a bia that comes after a get, so gzera bia achar get, misham bia achar chalitza. So we have to be gozer and say that the bia achar get is not legally significant, and again, the lack of legal significance is manifested by saying that if somebody does something after that bia, then that maisa is effective, then that maisa takes effect. So again, if the bia comes after a get, the reason that we have to say it's not legally significant is because because maybe the guy might come to do a bia after a chalitza. We know that if you do a bia after you do a chalitza, it's a big problem because you've already severed the zika, so you have no zika's yibum, and then the woman is just again considered to be eshes achiv, so you're going to violate an iser kares if you come to do that. And e bia achar maimer, but the bia psula, the deficient bia, could also be, let's say it's a bia that came after a maimer. So what's the problem? So gzera bia achar maimer, mishum bia achar bia. So it's a gzera, a bia achar maimer, it's a bia achar maimer is a gzera, but it's a gzera. In other words, and Rashi explains, when we say bia achar maimer is a gzera and that it's not legally significant, we have to be careful, because one thing you might recall that we said in the Mishnah yesterday is if you do maimer and then you do bia, harehi kemitzvasa, then you're doing the mitzvah. This is the mitzvah of Yibum. So what are we talking about here in the Gemara when we're saying that a bia achar maimer is not ay? So we're talking about where there were two yavamas. So a bia achar maimer, in other words, if you do a maimer on yavama on Rachel, let's say, and then you try doing a bia on Leah, so the bia on Leah is not legally significant. Why? Because the maimer that you did on Rachel is enough to effect the isser of bias echad atabona via atabona shtei batim, that you're only allowed to build one house and not two houses. So in other words, that maimer is legally significant, therefore the bia that comes after is legally deficient. So what's the reason? So the gzera, if it's a bia achar maimer, the reason that that's not effective is a gzera bia achar bia. Certainly bia achar bia is not going to be good because you've already built one house and then you can't build another house, so that's why we're going to make a gzera bia achar maimer as well. So says the Gemara, okay, so that makes sense. Now I understand why they say that a bia psula is of a much lesser legal significance than a bia ksheira, but how about a chalitza psula? The Chachamim did not argue by a chalitza psula. They said that nothing can happen after a chalitza psula. In other words, even if the chalitza is in the middle, nothing is effective after the chalitza. So in my time, Amar Rabbanan, hai chalitza psula, ein acharei aklum. So in that case, why by chalitza psula do they concede that ein acharei aklum? So Amri, they say like this, my legs are, what kind of gzera are we going to make? By bia, we had a reason to make a gzera. By chalitza, there is no such reason. Nigzar chalitza achar get, if the problem is that we're going to be gozer that chalitza doesn't work because let's say it's a chalitza achar get, that a chalitza after a get shouldn't work, mishum chalitza achar chalitza, because of a chalitza achar chalitza. So says the Gemara, that's not a problem. Let her do as many chalitzas as he wants. In other words, like this. Let's say you have one yavam and two yavamas. So you do a chalitza on the first yavama. So her relatives then become usher to you, your relatives become usher to her because you've broken the zika, and we know that the halacha is that the krovas chalutzoso are usher. Now let's say you go to the second yavama and you do a chalitza on that yavama. So is that a meaningful act? No, that's not a meaningful act because it was a zika. The zika was broken by the chalitza to the first one, so your act of chalitza on the second one is an empty act. So you're going to tell me that a chalitza achar get doesn't work because of a chalitza achar chalitza? Chalitza achar chalitza we know is meaningless, so there's no reason to be gozer on a there's no reason to be gozer a case of chalitza achar get. So and says the Gemara, what's the other alternative? Chalitza achar maimer, mishum chalitza achar bia. What's the issue? Should we be gozer chalitza achar maimer and say that it's not a legally sufficient act, that it's not a legally valid act because of chalitza achar bia? In other words, the concern is that we should be nervous that people might come to think that you could sever a maimer or a bia just by doing a chalitza and not by giving a get. But we know that once you do a bia, in other words, once you take the woman in yibum, then what's the only way to get rid of her? If you want to then release her, the only way to get rid of her is by giving her a get, because she's your full-fledged wife. Similarly, if you take a woman in maimer, which is the Kedushin de Rabbanan, the only way to break the maimer is to give a get. Now, you'll still need a chalitza to break the zika, but we already know that the only way to break this type of kedushin is to give a get. So says the Gemara, atu chalitza achamaymer milo boy get, lemamaro chalitza achabia nami boy get lebiyaso. So in other words, there's no reason to say that the chalitza should be deficient, because if it's a chalitza after a get, what's the problem? And if it's a chalitza after, and if it's a chalitza after a maimer, there's no reason to be gozer, because nobody's going to think that that chalitza is the way that you sever the kedushin aspect of the relationship, because everybody knows that you need a get, so there's no reason to make a gzera. Good, so Amar Rava, so says Rava, turning over to an Aleph, Amar Aleph. So my time at the Rav Gamliel, what's the reason for Rav Gamliel who says, ain get achar get? In other words, the case of ain get achar get, let's say you have a yavam echad and two yavamos, so if you give a get to the first yavam, if you give a get to Rachel, so we know the halacha is that two halachas take effect. One is, you are not allowed to marry her relatives, she's not allowed to marry your relatives, because it's like a little bit of a chalitza type thing. And the second is, once you give her a get, you're not allowed to go to the second yavama, you're not allowed to go to Leah and try to do maimer or be on her and take her in Yibam, because it's because you're then going to fall within the law of kivan shalabana shuvlo yibane. So what's the reason? So what's the reason for Rav Gamliel who says that? But Rav Gamliel says that ain get achar get. So let's say if you give, so Rav Gamliel says that ain get achar get. Let's say you give a get to Rachel. So, and then you go to Leah and give a get. Is that get that you give to Leah effective or not? So we saw yesterday, the get that you give to Leah is not effective. Why? And we had explained in Rashi said, Maman of Shach. Because if the get that you've given to Rachel is effective, so then, you know, okay, good. So then you're usher in her krovim, but basically that's it. So any act that you then do to Leah that's the same is going to be ineffective, because you've already taken care of the zika by giving the get to Rachel. And if the giving of the get is a legally insignificant act, well, then it shouldn't have the power to usher her relatives anyway. Okay, so fine. For Rachel, for the first get that you gave, we're going to be mesupak. But for the second get, if the get's ineffective, so what's the reason, mehechatesi, that we're going to aser Leah's relatives on you if it's a meaningless act? So the Gemara now is going to go into this. Amai Tamid Rav Gamliel says, ain get achar get. Says the Gemara, demesafkale, because we have a suffek. Idachi ilo dachi. We have a suffek if the get is doche, if the get breaks the zika, or not. Maimer, and by maimer, similarly, we have a suffek, ikani ilokani, that we're mesupak, whether it affects an acquisition or not. So get, idachi ilodachi, so get, we're mesupak, whether it affects a separation. So the Gemara spells it out. So ikamadachi, so if the first one affects the separation, then basra my covet. Then what are you doing with the second one? It's like a case, remember we had just said a couple of minutes ago, it's like, let's say you have one yavam and two yavamos, and you do a chalitza on the first one, and then you do a chalitza on the second one. So the chalitza that you do on the second one is meaningless, because you've already severed the zika by doing a chalitza on the first one. So too, if the get is effective to separate, then you've already separated, you've already severed the chalitza, you've already severed the zika, rather, on the by giving the get to the first one. So when you give the get to the second woman, it's a meaningless act. And ikamalodachi, and if the first get's going to be ineffective to terminate the zika, then basranami lodachi. Well, then the second one is equally ineffective. So there's no reason, there's no circumstance under which the relatives of the second woman, of the second yavama, should be usher to you. So that's why they say, ein get achar get. So maimar, the flip side of the suffix is by maimer, ikani ilokani, whether maimer is going to be kone or not. So ikamikani, if the first one is kone, then basra maikavid, then the act of maimer that you're doing with the second one is, then the act that you're doing with the second one is meaningless, because you can only take, if you have one yavam and two yavamas, you can only take one yavama for yourself as a wife. You can only do yibam on one woman. So if the first one is effective and basically chaps up all the zika, if it takes up all the zika and you're capitalizing on the zika to acquire the yavama, so you can only acquire one, you can't acquire two, so what you're doing on the second one is meaningless. Again, here you're not going to be over, I mean, you potentially could be over, but you're not going to be over in Isser Kores here, because we're talking about a mimer, you're not having bia with a woman, actually. And then the Gemara says, the flip side is, vi kamalokani, And if the first one is not kone, then the second one is not going to be kone. Then the second one is not going to be kone either. Okay, so Eisvei Abaya, so Frekt Abaya, Moda Rogam Liel, and Rogam Liel agrees, Sheyesh Get Achar Maimar, Umaimar Achar Get, that even though we said Ein Get Achar Get and Ein Maimar Achar Maimar, let's say you give a get, and then, let's say you do Maimar rather, and then you give a get, or you give a get, and then you do Maimar. Rabbi Gamliel agrees then that the get, that the latter of the acts, has some legal significance. Which is a little weird, because he had just said, Ein get archa get and ein Maimar archa Maimar, but if you do different acts, then they do have legal significance. So the Gemara is going to explain why this is so. The get, achar bia Maimar. And there is also such a thing as a get, achar, there is such a thing as a get, Achar bia or a maimer. So Rashi explains. So and then umaimer achar bia get. And there is such a thing as maimer achar bia get. So Rashi explains here that let's say if you do a maimer with one yavama, and then you have bia with a second yavama, and then you give the get to a third yavama, the get takes effect. So why does the get take effect? So you should think the get that you're giving to the third yavama shouldn't have any significance regarding assuring her relatives on you. Why? Because the second act that you did is a bia. So once you've taken one of the yavamos as your wife, that should be it. And then when you've given the get to the third one, it's meaningless, because you gave the get for the purpose of terminating a zika. Again, she's not your wife, so it's obvious that you didn't intend to divorce her with a get. You gave a get for the purpose of terminating a zika, but the zika's already been fully capitalized by the yibum that you did. But it's a deficient yibum. It's a bia psula. Why? Because the case was, you did maimer on wife one, you did bia on wife two, so it's a bia in the middle, and we said a bia in the middle is a deficient bia, then you give a get to wife three, and that yesh achar bia psula, yesh achar bia klum, because this bia is a bia psula. So the Gemara is going to explain all these cases. So says the Gemara like this. Vim is safkale le rungam liel, and if rungam liel is misupak, then tahave kabia dilachatchila, then it should be like a bia lechatchila, and it should be kone. So in other words, if Rav Gamliel is inherently mesupak, whether any of these things that are done are actually of any legal significance, whether the get that you give at first or whether the mimer that you give at first is actually legally significant, then let's say you do mimer on one person. So we're mesupak what that does, right? He's mesupak what that does. Then if you do bia on the second person, so we know the bia that you do is certainly a valid act. It has the potential to capitalize on the zika. But if Rav Gamliel's mesupak what the first one does, so then why is this considered to be a deficient bia? Why is this considered to be a bia psula? For all I know, the first act that you did is totally meaningless. So says the Gemara like this. Datnan habila, because we have in the Mishnah habila bezmanshi betchila einachare aklum. V'tikni datnan habila bezmanshi betchila einachare aklum. Because if we're mesupik whether the first mimer is effective, then the bia that we thought was beemtza, the bia that we thought was psula, should actually be a bia ksheira, because we're mesupik about the first act, it might have been meaningless, and what we thought was a bia beemtza should really be a bia betchila. So says the Gemara like this: Ella Amar Abaya Liolam Pshitul Rav Gamliel Beget Adachi Maimer Dekani. That really Rav Gamliel is certain that the get or a mimer is effective to a certain extent, and therefore whenever you have a bia after a get or a mimer, it's going to be a bia psula. Because you can't just ignore what you did with a first woman. So in other words, when we're saying that Rav Gamliel is mesupak, it doesn't mean that there's a tzad to say that the act that he did is totally ineffective. The act that he did is clearly effective to a certain extent, midrabanan. So what do we mean here then? So miu omer rabanan, but the rabanan say, Hayavama b'chadzad mahani baget. On the one hand, the get helps. It's a partial rejection. U'b'chadzad mahani b'maimar. And again, we're talking about a case where get achar maimar or maimar achar get. So on the one hand, the get is good in order to effect a partial rejection. U'b'chadzad mahani b'maimar. And the maimar is good to effect a partial acquisition. So get achar get. So in a case of get achar get, lo dachi daha lei kama. That by get or chaget, Rabbi Gamliel is going to say that the second get is ineffective because to whatever extent the get has the ability to do a partial rejection, each get is identical to the other one. So if the first get did a partial rejection, the second get doesn't do anything more than the first get already did. So that's why ain get achar get, because if it's good or good to a certain extent, then the second act was meaningless because it didn't have any incremental effect vis-a-vis the first act. And umaymar achamaymar lokani, and maymar achamaymar similarly is not going to be kone da kani le kama, because you've already affected all of the partial acquisition that you could affect through the first mimer. So again, the second mimer vis-a-vis the first mimer is no more effective. So that's why in a case of get archa get or mimer acha mimer, second act's going to be meaningless, because whatever it was that the Chachamim said you could accomplish by a partial termination or a partial acquisition, you've already done it all with the first one. So that inherently in itself renders your second act meaningless, because you've done just a redundant act. You've not done anything else that's new. However, what if you do a maimer achar get, or what if you do a get achar maimer? So says the Gemara like this: Saget achar maimer umaimer achar get. Well, hay milsa kadachi, b'hay milsa kakani. So one is going to be doche. And one is going to be kones. So in other words, they can take effect. Yesh get achar maimer, maimer achar get, because we know that the get leaves over a little bit of the zika. So who says that the maimer is operating on the part of the zika that the get terminated? Maybe the maimer is acting on the part of the zika that the get let remain in effect. And by get achar maimer, who says that the get could only come to terminate the zika that the mimer acquired already? In other words, there's some left over, so maybe that other act is going to take effect on the leftover, because this is not just a case of doing a redundant act. It's not like you're doing the same thing multiple times. So for Rabbanan, but the Rabbanan will say, Kol chavakad kinole Rabbanan, get umaymar biyavama. So Rashi over here says, so what does this mean? So Rabbanan and the Rabbanan who say, again, the Rabbanan argued around Gamliel, and the Rabbanan said, yesh get acha get, and yesh maymar acha maymar. So they said, kol chavakad mina yavama, and this is Rashi is five lines up from where they get wide, tiknu le Rabbanan, get umaymar, b'chola yavama, zulkach lekele maymar, kama docha kol koach get, the kama kol koach get the day, the is this lay bahachivama who did dacha, avo kol koach get the achva bahachivama, because gita didab, it's a rosa lo dacha, the kainlin the mimer. In other words, the Chachamim say, we disagree with Rav Gamliel's premise that because the get or the mimer is only going to affect a partial acquisition or a partial termination, that by definition, the second act that you're doing is redundant. Who says? Because if the get, you could also look at it like this. If the get affects a partial termination, so the second get could take effect on the part that wasn't terminated. Who says that it's a redundant act? So just like you're going to tell me that mimer can be chal after a get, because who says that the mimer is chal only on the zika that was terminated by the get? So too, by get achar get, who says that the second get is chal only on the part of the zika that was already terminated by the first get? And by mimer, who says that it's chal only on the part of the zika that was already acquired by the first mimer? So just like yesh mimer achar get or yesh get achar mimer, so too yesh get achar get and yesh mimer achar mimer, according to the Chachamim. Now the Gemara is just going to conclude with an observation. So v'hai bi apsula, and this bi apsula It's adifa mi mimer ugria mi mimer. On the one hand, it's stronger than a mimer. On the other hand, it's weaker than a mimer. So adifa mi mimer, it's a little bit stronger than a mimer in one respect. Ilu mimer achar mimer lo mahani, because mimer after mimer does not help. So in other words, let's say you have Rachel and Leah. You do mimer on Rachel, then you try to do mimer on Leah. So the mimer on Leah is meaningless. It doesn't take effect because bayis echad atabona viatabonesh they batim. However, a biachar maimer does work. In other words, how does it work? It works because you can violate the isser of eishes ach over here if you do a bia. And Tosfos says that the reason that a bia psula will work better than a maimer. In other words, a maimer on the second woman doesn't take effect at all. A bia will take effect somehow. Why? Because that's the doraisa way of being kone woman. Ugriami maimer. But on the other hand, the bia psula is worse than maimer. Dila maimer achar aget. Because if you do mimer after giving a get, kone lekule shira de get, because then you basically are kone all of the zika that's left over, all of the relationship that's left over by the get, you're kone with a mimer. Vilu bia achar a get, lo kone le lekule shira de get. However, by a bia achar a get, you are not kone the entire remnant of the get. So what does this mean? So Rashi explains here that a mimer after a get is a mimer after a get is effective because the get leaves over a remnant of the zika on which the mimer can take effect, but only a single mimer is effective. In other words, a second mimer performed on a third woman wouldn't be effective because then it's a case of mimer achar mimer, and a mimer achar mimer we saw according to Rav Gamliel is nothing. But a bia after a get is deficient. A bia after, let's say you give one woman a get and then you do a bia, so that's a bia psula. And what do we say about a bia psula? Bia psula, yesh acharei aklum. That a bia psula does allow a mimer on a third woman to take effect. So it comes out that a bia psula is weaker than a mimer because if you give a get to one woman and then a mimer on the second woman, then you can't do a mimer on the third woman because, again, bayis echad atabona viatabona shtei batim. But if you give a get to one woman, then do a bia on the second woman, that bia is a bia psula yesh acharei aklum, then you could go do a mimer on the third woman. So that's what the Gemara says. That's what the Gemara means when it says that the bia psula is stronger than a mimer. It's weaker than a mimer in that respect. So Tana Rabbana. So the Gemara says the Gemara Vayter. So Ketzad Amar Gamliel Enget Achaget. So what's the case of Enget Achaget? We've been talking a lot about this case, but what exactly is it? So says the Gemara. So it gets at least a little bit easier to understand this. So Shtei Yavama Shenaflu Lifnei Yavam Echad. So you have two Yavamas who fall to one Yavam. V'nasan Get Lazu V'Get Lazu, and he gives a get to each of them. So Rav Gamliel Omer Choletz L'Rishona, that he is Choletz on the first one. You still need Chalitza, right? Because the get doesn't really terminate the Zika, so you have to give a Chalitza. So you should do a Chalitza to the first one. Why? Because again, Ein Get Achar Get, so the get that you gave to the second one is ineffective. You're not usur in her krovos, but if you do a chalitza, then you're going to be usur in her krovim. So what should you do? So do a chalitza to the one who you gave the get first, because you're already usur to her krovim anyway, so just do a chalitza on her. The usur b'krovos, and you're going to be usur in her krovim. Umutur b'krovashni, and you're going to be mutur in the krovim of the second one, because the get that you gave to the second one is ineffective. It's legally ineffective. The Chachamim Omrim, and the Chachamim say, Nasan get lezu v'get lezu, that if you gave a get to both of them, again, the Chachamim said, yesh get achar get, then usur b'krov ashtayim, then you're going to be usur in the krovim of both of them, because the get after a get is effective, and v'chalitza lachas me'am, and you have to do chalitza on one of them, right, because you still need the chalitza to terminate the zika. V'chein ata omer b'shnei yavamim, v'yavam echad, and the same thing is true by two yavamim and one yavama. Ketzad, amar gamliel ein ma'amarach, and it's, in other words, if one Yavam gave the get, then the get given by the second Yavam is ineffective. But the Chachamim will argue and say that if one gave the get, then the second get given by the second one is effective to the extent that it causes each other's relatives to become usher to the other. So Ketzad Amar Rav Gamliel Ein Maimer Achar Maimer. So what does Rav Gamliel say the case of Maimer of Ein Maimer Achar Maimer is? So Shei Yavam Ashenaflu Levnei Yavam Echad. Again, you have two Yavamus who fall to one Yavam.
V'yasar maimer bezu and maimer bezu, and he does maimer on both of them. So you give a get to the first one, v'choletzla, and you do chalitza on her, again, because you have to terminate the zika, v'yasar b'krovoseya, and you're going to be usar in her krovim, because you've done the chalitza on her, u'mutar b'krovashniya, and you're going to be mutar in the krovim of the second one, because you've never given a get, or done a chalitza on the second one, because the maimer that you did on the second one was totally ineffective, and therefore she never required a get from you. The chachamim omrim, nosen get l'shtayim. The chachamim said, no, I disagree. Yesh maimer achar maimer. They were both effective, therefore they both need a get. And if they both need a get, v'yasar b'krova shtayim, then you're going to be usar in both of their krovim, but one of them requires a chalitza in order to terminate the zika. The chalitza lachas mehem, and you have to give chalitza to one of them. V'chein ata omer b'shnei yevamim v'yevama achas. And similarly, a case of two yevamim and one yevama, that there's going to be a dispute of whether yesh maimer achar maimer or ein maimer achar maimer. So amar mar, no saying get lezu v'get lezu. Rav Gamliel omer choletz l'rishona v'yasar b'krova seah umutar b'krova shnia. That Rav Gamliel says that you then do a chalitza on the first one because the get that you gave to the first one is effective in order to asar her krovim. Therefore, if you're going to do a chalitza and you're going to viter asar, further asar her krovim, you may as well do it on the one whose krovim are already asar to you. So you do a chalitza on the first woman, the second woman's krovim are all good to you. It's all fine. So v'yasar b'krova seah umutar b'krova shnia. So says the Gemara, three lines up from the bottom, let's say this is a kasha to Shmuel. Diyamar Shmuel, chalatz labalas haget, because Shmuel says that if you give chalitza to the woman who got the get, lo niftara tsarasa, then her tsara is not going to be released with this, then the tsara is not going to be released with this chalitza. So Rashi says, what's happening here? So what's happening here is that you have, again, two women, and one of them have a superior zika to the other one. So again, you gave a get to the first woman, and the get that you gave to the second woman is ineffective. So it comes out that the zika of the second woman is superior to the zika of the first woman, because the zika of the first woman already has a get. So the zika is already dulled, it's already blunted to a certain extent. The zika of the second woman is unadulterated. Shmuel says that the only time a chalitza paters the tsaros is if it's a chalitza on a perfect zika. But over here, what did Rabbi Gamliel suggest? That you gave a get to the first one, therefore you do a chalitza on the first one, so your chalitza on the woman with an inferior zika is going to pater her tzara. So that's a kasha on Shmuel. So Amalecha Shmuel, ki amri ano, aliba demandi amar yesh zika, Rabbi Gamliel, suffer ain zika. Yeah, of course, shkoyach, says Shmuel. My whole premise, my whole shita of a chalitza on a woman with a deficient zika not working to pater her tzara is obviously going only according to the Madiyamar, who says yesh zika. Because if you say yesh zika, then I can already cheshben the relative strength of the zikos. Rav Gamliel says ain zika. So if Rav Gamliel says ain zika, so he would have no reason to differentiate between a chalitza done on a woman with a lesser zika and a chalitza done on a woman with a greater zika, because he says ain zika anyway. So the whole conversation by him is meaningless. That's why he says do a chalitza on the first one to whom you've already given a get, and that act of chalitza paters the tzara as well. So says the Gemara, umadegramliel savar ain zika, from the fact that Rav Gamliel says ain zika, Rabbanan Savra Yesh Zika. So L'chora, the Rabbanan say Yesh Zika. I Viktani Seifa, but it says in the Seifa, V'chein Ata Omer B'shnei Yevamin V'yevama Echaz. And similarly, we have a case by two Yevamin and one Yevama. So Lema Tave Tiyufta De Rabba Barav Huna. So let's say this is a Kasha on Rabba Barav Huna Marav. Why has it a Kasha? Dema Rabba Barav Huna Marav. Because Rabba Barav Huna Marav says, Chalitza Psula, that if you have a case of Chalitza Psula, Tzricha Lachzar Al Kala Achin, that you have to get a chalitza from all the brothers. But the Chachamim said that the chalitza psula of only one brother is enough to dissolve the zika for all of them. Because right in the case of Shtei Yevamin V'Yevama Achas, what happens? We have been talking about a case where only one of the brothers has to do a chalitza. But if the chalitza is going to be a deficient chalitza, because let's say it came after a get, or it came after a maimer, or it came after something, then she should require chalitza from all the brothers. But we don't have anybody in our Mishnah who says that she has to get a separate chalitza from each of the brothers.
So Amar Lecha Rabba Bar Rav Huna, Bein L'Rogam Liel, Bein L'Rabbanan Savri, Ein Zika. No, that's not, the Nekudas HaMachlokas between Rabban Gamliel and the Chachamim is not whether Yesh Zika or Ein Zika. They both hold Ein Zika. V'Hacha Beget Achaget U'Maymer Achamaymer Kamiflegi. And over here, they're arguing about Get Achaget and Maimer Achar Maimer. So in other words, the ruling about Chalitza Psula is only within the Shita of Yesh Zika. So there's no kasha on anybody who's talking about Chalitza Psula, Tzri Chalach or Kala Achim, because that's only within the Shita of Yesh Zika. So according to the Chachamim, who hold that? So basically, you have no raya here against Rabbi Rav Huna Marav, who says that Sri Chalach or Kalachin, because they're arguing about Get Achar Get or Maimer Achar Maimer. It's got nothing to do with Zika at all. So Amar Mar, Zasar Maimer Bezu and Maimer Bezu. So let's say you do Maimer with both women. So Rungam Liel Amar Nosen Get LaRishona. So Rungam Liel says that you give a get to the first woman, v'chol etzla, and you do chalitza on her, v'asur b'krova se'a, mutter b'krova shniya, and it's mutter in the krovim of the second woman. So michti, k'savim Rav Gamliel, ein maimar achar maimar, but if Rav Gamliel says that ein maimar achar maimar, t'rishona nami tisyabim. So why do we say that if you do maimar on Rachel, and you did maimar on Leah, then you have to give a get to Rachel, and then do chalitza, and you're also in her krovim, but you're mutter in the krovim of the second one. If ain maimer acha maimer, if the second maimer is not significant, and you've already done maimer on the first woman, so why do I have to give her a get? Let me do bi on her, and let me take her in yibam. Why are we setting up a case where, by definition, necessarily I have to divorce her? That doesn't make any sense. So says the Gemara, gzeira dilma asili bumi lishnia. No, because there's a gzeira that we're afraid that you might come to do yibum on the second one. So you're right, Enachanami, there is no problem if you've already done Maimer on the first woman of then doing a Yibam on her, because that's the only Maimer that you have done and the second Maimer is ineffective. But what are we afraid? We're afraid that maybe instead of taking the second one in Yibam, if you've done a Maimer Acha Maimer, instead of taking the first one in Yibam rather, if you've done a Maimer Acha Maimer, you're going to come to take the second one in Yibam. And if you come to take the second one in Yibam, then you have big problems, because then it's Bayis Echad Atabone, V'Atabone Shtei Batim, because the first Maimer was already partially effective. You're then going and having a Bia with your brother's wife, which is a very terrible thing. So I'm a Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Yochanan says like this. So we're going to have a bunch of shitos over here in Chachamim who all hold the same thing. I don't know that we'll get through all of them, but we'll at least start. So Rav Gamliel, Ube Shammai, Rav Shimon ben Azai, Rav Nechemia, Kulus Firulu, Maimer Kona, Kinyan Gomer. They all say that a Maimer Kona is Kinyan Gomer. Again, Kinyan Gomer, Rashi says, not Gomer, because it's only Midrabana. It's not a real Kedushan, but Rashi says it's a Kinyan Chashav. There's a Chashivas to the Kinyan that a Maimer can affect. So Rav Gamliel, Hadi Amran, so Rav Gamliel, we already said, because he said, Ein Maimer Achar Maimer, because the first one is Kone, you know, to an extent, and therefore that makes the second duplicate act meaningless, because you've already done everything that you could do with the first act. So Beis Shammai Dithnam, Beis Shammai, like we say like this, Shlosha Achin, if you have three brothers, and two of the brothers are married to two sisters. One of them is single. So, if one of the brothers who are married to one of the sisters dies, and the Mufna does Maimer with his wife, again, who's the sister of Shimon, so Reuven dies, Levi does Maimer with Reuven's wife, and remember, Shimon's wife is a sister to the Reuven's wife, who Levi did Maimer with. And then V'yachrakach meis achiv, and then Shimon dies, achiv hasheni, Beishamai omrim ishto imo, Beishamai says that ishto imo, in other words, the woman who Levi did Maimer on, Ishas Reuben can stick with him, v'alazu teitzei misham achos isha, and Shimon's wife, who now would have fallen to Levi in Yibam, goes out free, misham achos isha. Why? She's not, Ishas Reuben is not Levi's wife, but he already did Maimer, and Maimer's kone, kinyan gomer, in order to allow Eishes Shimon to go free without anything, because she's considered to be Achos Ishto. Rav Shimon, and what's the case of Rav Shimon? Tanya, Amar lu Rav Shimon l'chachamim. So Rav Shimon said to the Chachamim, so this case is a case where the Yavama falls to two brothers, both of whom are between the ages of 9 and 13, and they had bia. So a 9-year-old is capable of having a bia, but he can't effectuate a marriage until he turns 13. So, and legabe yibam, the chachamim say that the bia of a 9-year-old is considered to be like mimer. In other words, it's a partially effective act. So Rabbi Shimon said, im bias rishona bia, if the bia of the first 9-year-old, a 10-year-old is a bia, bia shnia ain't a bia, then the bia of the second one is not a bia. Im bias rishona ain't a bia, bia shnia, bia shena nami ain't a bia. And vaha bia bain tesha kamimer shavu rabbanim v'kamer Rabbi Shimon ain't a bia. So we'll finish over here. We'll have to pick up a little bit more tomorrow, but basically what we see here is Rabbi Shimon saying something that's very reminiscent to what Rabbi Gamliel said about Mimer, right? Remember, Rabbi Gamliel said that if you do Mimer on two women, so if the first one's effective, then the second one is meaningless, and if the first one's ineffective, then the second one's also ineffective. So that's what he's saying here by Bia, between it for a 9-year-old to a 13-year-old is just like that. If the first one's effective, then the second one's meaningless. And if the first one's ineffective, then the second one is also meaningless. So we'll continue again with a couple of more shitas and describe what they say about Mimer being and we'll invite to explain more aspects of the Mishnah, God willing, tomorrow.